Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be here tonight, and I know there aren't many of us here right now, but that's okay, because we're going to do what we always do, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to study His Word. I know some of our usuals aren't here tonight, and there may be a few more coming in yet. We'll see what happens, but at any rate, God has promised wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them, and He is here tonight, so I'm thankful for that. We are going to sing some choruses, but of course, before we do anything, we need to pray. Father in heaven, I thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. I thank Thee for this opportunity to worship Thee. I thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast blessed this ministry so much over the years, and I thank Thee for Thy promise that Thou art here tonight. I ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be here, that Thou wouldst inhabit the praises of Thy people, that Thou wouldst inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing some choruses. And I think a really good place to start is number 83 in the chorus book, From the Rising of the Sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. God. You know, it is such a wonderful thing to praise the Lord, and it's something we should be doing all the time, morning and night, morning, noon and night. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing number 98, Because He Lives? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
fear is gone.
He does make life worth living. Praise the Lord. And He takes all our fear away. When we have Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Why don't we sing number 79, I See the Lord.
I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. Praise the
God. Why don't we sing number 22, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Away, but there's something about of that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. And there is no other name like that name. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 111, I Shall Know Him. I shall know. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the touch of the nail prints in his hands. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the touch of the nail prints in his hands. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the touch of the nail prints in his hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, and you know, when we see him, we're going to recognize him. We're going to know exactly who he is and what a wonderful thing that will be. Glory to God.
Well, I think what we'll do is just take up the collection. And since there's so few of us here, if you haven't... all right, well, I guess I'll... Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give, and give us wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose and for thy glory. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and sing number 128? It just seems like a wonderful song to sing before we get started in the Word. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, He's here tonight. Praise the Lord. And you know, those who aren't here tonight, well, they're missing out. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We'll let Shirley get started on her Bible study.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is really different here tonight. We just, you know, I know when Chris first came here, I remember talking to her on the phone, I think maybe before we met face to face, and remember her saying, well, I remember telling her, I said, there probably won't be very many here at the church on Wednesday night. And I remember Chris said to me, well, even if it's just you and I, I'll be glad. And praise the Lord. Here we are tonight with Leah and Sam in the background. But praise the Lord. We're very few here tonight, but the Lord is here. And wow, I know I just thought, wow, maybe we just sing tonight and worship the Lord. But praise the Lord. I know there's some of you online, and I'm so thankful for that ministry that we have. But God has allowed us to have an online ministry, and I know these tapes do get circulated some, so I thank God for that. And we'll just see what the Lord does here tonight, how He works in us. It's just a little bit different, you know, but I know there's those angels out there, and the Lord's here in this place, and there's you folks online, and praise the Lord, that's wonderful. God is with His people, praise the Lord. He is with us, so praise the Lord. So we're going to pray here as we begin here tonight and ask God to move. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again. Another opportunity, Lord, another moment in time, Lord, that we have here, Jesus. Oh, God, we just don't know the day or the hour of Your coming, Lord. God, oh, Lord, we have Your promises. We know, Lord, Your coming is nigh, and You will come and not tarry, Lord, that there is appointed a day when You will come to judge this world in righteousness. And God, I just pray, oh God, that You would move in our hearts, Lord, that You would change us, Lord, that You would motivate us. Oh God, we don't know, Lord, that we but have a few more days, a few more months possibly to work for You, Lord. And God, maybe not even that certainty, Lord, because Your coming is nigh at hand. And God, we see the signs, God, we see what's happening in this world, Lord. And oh God, I pray, oh God, that You would talk to our hearts. Oh, Lord, that You would lead us, that You would show us, God. Oh, Lord, that You'd get us to that higher ground, Lord Jesus. And oh, God, help us to be diligent, Lord. Help us to make our calling and election sure, Lord. Oh, God, help us to be ready to stand before You, Lord. Oh, God, one of these days when You call for us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, when You come, oh, Lord, as a snare upon, oh, Lord, those that are on the face of this earth, Lord, quickly and unannounced as a thief, oh, Lord, in the night, God, Your coming will be, Lord. And God, I pray, oh God, that You'd make us ready, Lord. Oh God, that You'd talk to our hearts. Oh God, that You'd yield us together. Oh God, that You would bring us to that place, oh Lord. Oh God, where we know You as Lord and Savior. Our God, oh Lord, where we walk with You. God, where we can hear Your still small voice talking to our souls, Lord. Oh God, where we'll know the time of Thy coming, oh Lord, our hearts will be prepared, Lord, because, Lord, You are talking to us, Lord, and we are in accord with Thee, Lord Jesus, and we know Thy voice. God, help us to be prepared. Help us to be ready. Talk to us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, bind the strong man and everything that would interfere, Lord. Oh God, every work of darkness, we cast it out, Lord. And every work of discouragement, oh Lord, every hindering spirit, oh Lord, everything, oh God, that would come to destroy and, oh God, to devour. God, we come to You, Lord Jesus, and ask, oh Lord, that You would work, oh Lord, in our hearts, and change us, Lord. Motivate us, God. Mold us, shape us, make us more like You, Jesus. Oh God, we need You, Lord. We cry out to You, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, we seek You, Lord, while You yet may be found. We call upon You while You are near, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and I pray, oh God, that, oh Lord, that there be any that have not yielded their life to You, Lord, that even tonight, Lord, that You would talk to their hearts. Oh God, that You would talk to hearts even tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and oh Lord, oh God, that they would give in. Oh Lord, that there be conviction, Lord, that Your spirit would move, oh God, and change. Oh God, oh Lord, help us to get ready, Lord, for Thy day is at hand, oh Lord, the day of Thy coming, Lord, that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh God, I pray that You'd help us. In Jesus' name, be here, Lord. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, I can do nothing without You, Lord. Oh God, give me words. And oh Lord, use me, Lord. And help us, Lord. Oh God, to rightly discern the day, this time, oh Lord. Oh God, to know the time of Thy coming, Lord Jesus. Oh God, to have our hearts ready and prepared. Oh Jesus, talk to our souls, Lord Jesus. Oh God, in Your precious name, Lord, do a work. Oh, we give it to you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. That felt good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be able to talk to the Lord and to communicate with Him. And wow, to know that He's changed our lives. So, oh, wow, so we can stand before Him one of these days and have Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go to James, the fourth chapter here tonight. And, oh, praise the Lord. God started talking to me about this last week, but and there was something else, too. And so here it is, the very last day of the year, end of another year. They go so fast, you know. Just remember my daddy always, he'd talk about the days of his youth, like they were yesterday, you know, and I used to think as a girl, you know, well, Dad, you know, that happened a long time ago, you know, and he made it sound like it was, yeah, yesterday, you know, and now I'm beginning to understand a little bit more, yeah, time goes so quickly, time evaporates, it soon is gone, and you know, we have to make the best of the moments that we have right now. We're not guaranteed that we're going to have tomorrow, you know, we don't know that we're going to have next year. I mean, I'm just thinking as we were worshiping the Lord that, you know, next year at this time, we could be in the presence of the Lord, we could be up there. I mean, it could be over at that time, we don't know, we have no guarantee, but yet we know that we have perhaps, oh, you had to open door to work a little longer for the Lord, to do something for God that's going to count, something that's going to matter, some lives that can be changed because, yeah, He's not here yet. He hasn't quite come yet, you know. You know, those horses are trotting. Those horses are on the go, you know. They're going to come. The Lord is going to come and not tarry. It's going to be one of these moments, but it hasn't quite arrived yet, that moment, you know, that last trumpet hasn't sounded yet. But here we are, and we've got another opportunity tonight, and we can open up the Word, and we can talk about the Lord, and we can praise His name, and just see what He'll do in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. So here we are in James, the fourth chapter, and just a few short verses here. I'd like to call this message, "For What Is Your Life?" For what is your life? And here it says in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him to know that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Well, praise the Lord. There's some pretty strong verses there at the end here. You know, people that rejoice in their boasting and just, you know, thinking for sure that, you know, such and such is going to happen and this opportunity and, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and, you know, I'm going to make this much money and, you know, have this much goods, buy this big house and, you know, all the things that people think and scheme up in their minds. But God doesn't want us to rejoice like that. He doesn't want us thinking like that at all. We're supposed to say, if the Lord wills, you know, I think you that have worked with me some and know I often have said that, you know, I might plan for such and such during one day, but very, very often it gets changed. You know, I find so often that, you know, there's something else that God has in mind that I never dreamed of. I never guessed it was going to happen. But that's our God. And, you know, our life is in His hands, isn't it not? And if we're doing His will, then, you know, we don't know exactly how He's going to direct us. We don't know exactly who we're going to talk to or, you know, what the next challenge is going to be or the next opportunity or even where we're going to be for sure. You know, because it's up in God's hands. You know, our life is in His hands. It's subject to His will, and He reveals it little by little. You know, once in a while, He might give us a little, you know, a glimpse of possibly something down the road, but usually it's like, I don't know what tomorrow holds, you know. I don't know God, but it's, our walk is by faith, and we're walking, you know, with the Lord, and we know that all will be well if we're trusting in Him. But we don't know the particulars. We don't know that. And here it tells us, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I think about, you know, the tea kettle on the stove. And, you know, you see the steam going up and those water vapors going up into the air. And they vanish, don't they? It's like, you know, they're there for a second or so. And they vanish. No one can see them. You know, of course, they're a gas. They become a gas. Steam becomes a gas, and it goes up into the air, and of course, you know, water rises and forms clouds up there, and you know, eventually it condenses. It comes down as rain, and so that water cycle goes over and over and over again. But a vapor is something that's barely visible, or maybe not visible at all, and it could be a cloudy or diffused matter. And if you want to get archaic in the meaning of the word vapor, it means something worthless or fleeting. And I think, wow, that really is in reference to our life, something that's worthless or fleeting. Though, except, I hope by the grace of God, our life isn't going to be worthless. I know it's fleeting. I know it moves, you know, but by the grace of God, if we can give our life to the Lord and we can live for Him, it's going to be something of value. It's going to be something that makes a difference in other people's lives. And praise the Lord, we'll have something to give back when we stand before the Lord. You know, we've got to have something. We've got to have fruit to show when we stand before God. You know, we don't want to be that worthless servant who has nothing, who went and buried his talent in the dirt and, you know, then had nothing at all to give. I pray that our lives will have value and that there be something that we can give back for what He's done for us, because He paid such a price that we might be free, that we might be His servants, we might live for Him, that, you know, we might be counted worthy one day. And it certainly won't be because of our own goodness or our own abilities or, you know, our own good looks or whatever. All is nothing to do of that nature at all. It'll be because the Lord had mercy on us, the Lord saw us, the Lord called us and made something of us. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know why. You know, and we talk about that many times, and, you know, we talk one with another, because, you know, it's a marvel that the Lord called us, that He chose us, that we have this privilege. You know, we see others just walking around and kind of just floating in the air almost, it seems sometimes. And, you know, just that look on their face, like, you know, they just don't know what's up or anything. But, oh, wow, God has called us. He's given us a purpose. There's a plan for our lives. And, you know, we have something to live for. Yes, and we have something to die for. Our God is so good. So praise the Lord. Even though our life is short, I pray that it will have value, that we can do something with our life, because it's going to disappear. It's going to be short. You know, I mean, wow, time goes so quickly that, you know, I just marvel. It's like you just keep turning the pages over on the calendar all the time. I can't believe it. It's another month. I have to turn the page again. Wow, I barely saw this month yet, you know. And you know, it just seems like that. You know, I look back at what did I do last week? And, you know, sometimes you can hardly remember, because time just passes. It goes quickly. It appears for a little time, but then it's going to vanish away. And, you know, all at once, only thing that's going to matter is what we did for God. It's the only thing that's going to matter at that moment when we stand before God. Did I do something of value for you, Lord? Is there something that counts? Oh, wow, do I have something to give back to you, Lord? And oh, I praise the Lord. He gives us talents. He gives us ability. And we have to use them. Accordingly, we have to invest. We have to invest our life in the work of the Lord one way or the other. Even if it's just prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Many days I just start praying, and it's, I realize, oh, there's so many people to pray for. You know, it just goes from one to the next, and sometimes I think, I was thinking today as I was praying, now get the people in the south. You know, it's just like, you know, I think I got those out there, and, you know, maybe those over there in the east, and you know, some of the people right here, you know, and then it seemed like the Lord said, now get the people in the south, and praise the Lord. Our God is so good, but there's so much to do for the Lord, you know. We could talk to people about the Lord. There's things that we can say if we'll just give our lives to the Lord and let Him work through us. There's opportunities that He's going to give each and every one of us if we yield our life to the Lord. But here we are. It's such a time. It's such a moment because that life that we live is short. And wow, we realize that, you know, as the years go by and all at once, wow. It's just about rather forget how old we are because we can't believe it anyway. Oh, praise the Lord. But God is so good. God is so good. And He has given us opportunities. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Luke, the 12th chapter, and glean what we can from Luke 12 here quite largely tonight and a few other places, I'm sure. But remember, we're going to be talking about what is our life and these moments that we have here. If we could just make them count, you know, the Lord does give us this new year, and only God knows what could be ahead. There are so many things on the horizon right now looming over our head. Anything could happen. Oh my, the banks could fail, you know, the government could change, you know, it could be a takeover. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could think of, but you know what? Our life is in God's hands. And He's going to take care of us. You know, He knows the end from the beginning. And He knows how to provide for us and to guide us, how to direct us, how to keep us from the evil, and how to lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, praise the Lord. But here as we go to Luke, the 12th chapter, let's look here. Let's begin here at verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. And Jesus is talking. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then he ends this parable by saying, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, so often you realize that the people don't think much about their soul. You know, they're alive, they're well, they try to dress a certain way and think a certain way or a certain amount of money and do this and do that. And, you know, they think about how they relate to other people and what other people think, and or perhaps that's a worry a lot of times, and on, you know. But how many people stop and think about what's going to happen to my soul? You know, where am I going to spend eternity? You know, and what's the value of my soul? As Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, there's something that we have within us that's worth everything. You know, we're not to fear him that can just destroy our body and then it's over, but we're to fear him that could destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's the Lord, that's the Almighty God that has that capability. And certainly that soul is going to live on. It's going to live on. It's going to live on in hell, or it's going to live on in heaven. And we have a special, precious little time here to make certain decisions that are going to determine where that soul ends up. Is it going to be in heaven or is it going to be in hell? You know, and that's a great consideration. Something that is so important that every man, woman, child needs to contemplate, needs to think about. Where am I going to spend eternity? What can I give in exchange for my soul? How can I save my soul? But so few people even go there. And so it was in this example that Jesus was telling here. Oh, wow, as he was telling about this certain rich man that was prosperous. And wow, his ground was doing well. It was bringing forth fruits and goods, vegetables, grains, I suppose. And his barns were full. They were just full to capacity, obviously. And all he could think of is, oh, I'll just build bigger ones, build bigger ones. I've got plenty of money. And I've got, you know, people to help me. And you know, why not? And so he determined to do that. And then besides that, he's talked to his soul. Oh, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Hey, just take thine ease. Oh, eat, drink, and be merry. Hey, don't think about anything too deep. You know, don't worry too much about the future. Just, you know, you've done well. It's all there. You know, put it all away. It's going to be okay. You know, who cares, you know, what, you know, somebody else is going through or whatever other trial somebody else may have. My situation, it's fine, you know, and why do I have to worry? You know, I'm just going to take it easy now. I'm going to slide right back into, you know, an easy pattern here and you just eat, drink, be merry, relax. But God said, thou fool, oh, thou foolish one, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And that's the way life is. It can end really, really fast. You know, I remember the story that it happened actually at Pastor's, the home he grew up, and this was, you know, years after he had left, of course. But the story is there was a certain man. He was a relative, and he was a very careless, not a God-fearing man at all. He had been over to the house and visited there for a portion of that day, and was just really something, I am sure, very unforgettable. But as he was leaving, all at once he fell, and his last words were something like, God, it or whatever, you know, and he fell over and he was dead, right there on the porch, right on the back there, those steps there that would lead up to the house, and it was over for him. And he, like I said, he wasn't a God-fearing man, and obviously he hadn't thought about his soul at all. He hadn't thought about getting right and making his amends with an Almighty God, and there all at once, just like that, he collapsed right then and there, and it was over, and the words that came out of his mouth were just damnation. That's all he could think of. That was all that was in his heart. He didn't have anything stored up for his soul. He hadn't done anything that was a profit, and he wasn't right with God, obviously. And there it was, all at once it was over. Right then and there it was over. Oh, I tell you, it can end that fast. It can end that fast. And so many people don't think, you know, they don't ask questions that are deep, you know. They don't consider what tomorrow may hold. They certainly don't consider what eternity is going to hold and what's going to become of them, you know. Some people think it's going to be jolly to be in hell, you know. My friends are going to be there. I don't want to go to heaven if my friends aren't there, you know. But wow, oh, what a terrible way to think, you know, what terrible assumptions that people make and determinations and just so lack of thinking of the things that really matter, that need to get right with God. Oh my, their need to get right, because otherwise they're going to fall into the hands of an angry God. Oh yes, because there's an issue. We're all sinners. We come into this world with sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that there's none righteous, no one. And we know that the wages of sin is death. So if you continue in your sin, there's only one thing that you're going to reap. And that's death. It's death. But praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On the contrast, there's only one thing or the other. You know, you choose life or you choose death. But so many people don't deeply consider and ask that question, what is your life? How am I going to spend eternity? What's going to happen to me when I, you know, resume room temperature and all at once it's over and my heart stops beating and I no longer have an opportunity? What's going to happen to me? Oh, God, help us. But here, if we go to James, the first chapter, it also talks about those wages that sin brings forth. If we look at verse 12 here in James 1, it says, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And then verse 16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Oh my, it's going to be a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Oh my, because here it tells us, yes, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, but it isn't until that lust is conceived that it's going to bring forth sin. So we may be tempted, but we don't have to give in to those temptations. And if we don't, then that lust will not be conceived. It's not going to bring forth sin. But if we do give in to it, then it's going to bring forth sin. And sin, if it isn't covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it's finished, it's going to bring forth death. And when I say death, I mean eternal separation from God, eternal darkness, eternal damnation, eternal hell. That's what I'm talking about here. That's what the scripture means. It bringeth forth death. That's the finished part of sin. If it's not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, God made a way, didn't he? Oh, praise the Lord. He made a way. He came as that righteous Lamb of God. Oh, that perfect Lamb of God. And because we no longer have to offer those sacrifices, that sin, that lamb, that bull, that calf, whatever, to atone for our sin. Because Jesus came, did he? As that perfect lamb, as was slain before the foundation of the world. It was in the plan and mind of God. God knowing that the first covenant was not going to work. But he was going to bring forth another covenant in his new blood, his own blood that he purchased for us, that we might come to him and be free from sin. Oh, praise the Lord, and know what it's like to have that freedom, to not walk in sin, not to walk in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to be free from that. The Lord is so good. Oh, praise the Lord, and He had that plan. And praise the Lord, we don't have to fall into that condemnation of death. We don't have to, because God made a way so that our sins can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, there's not going to be any so glad as we who have given our life to the Lord when we stand before Him. We can stand before Him knowing that that blood has covered us. And we've gone down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And those sins have been atoned for. They've been covered. They've been remitted by the blood of Jesus Christ, by what He did for us. They're covered, so there's no more penalty. There's no more payment. It's finished. It's over. We've given it to the Lord, and praise the Lord. You know, if we make mistakes and are hindered in any way, praise the Lord, that blood, we come to Him, that blood takes care of it. If we come to Him in repentance, He covers it again and again. Those waters cover up. They flow to take care of that sin. Praise the Lord, when we come to Him in repentance. And praise the Lord for such a wonderful opportunity. Praise the Lord. So there's a way that the Lord gave us that we can come to us to Him. But so many people don't consider the end. You know, Psalm 76, verse 7, Thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? People talk about God being love, and He is. Oh, there's greater love hath no man than a man that would give his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did for us. But wow, we're not going to be His friend if we've got sin in our life. He's a God that can't bear sin. He's not going to be able to look at that sin. When we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, it's got to be taken care of. It's got to be covered. We've got to have that garment of His righteousness covering our sin. It's got to be there. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to stand before Him. We're not going to have confidence in that day of judgment to stand before Him if it's not covered by that blood. We're not going to be able to look at a righteous God if there's sin in our life. So, there is something to consider here, because who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? People haven't even begun to realize what it's going to be like to stand before God when He's angry, when He's had enough, when He's calling everything in. And that sickle has been put to the earth, and He's reaped the earth, and it's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. And there's no more time. That angel stands one foot in the land and one foot on the sea and says, time shall be no more, and it's going to be over. We're not going to have any more opportunities after that. You know, it's time to get right with God. It's time to call out to Him now. It's time to do the things that matter. Wow, we're going to stand before God one of these days, and it's most likely much sooner than most people ever dream or consider. It could be tonight. Just as that man who he thought, oh wow, he had many goods laid up for many years, and soul, he talked to his soul, oh soul, take thine ease, take it easy soul, eat, drink, and be merry, forget about your troubles, forget about this and that, oh my, don't think too hard, don't think about eternity. But how foolish. How foolish not to regard your soul and to think what may be in the future for you, because for sure, this body that we live in, this temple, is going to die unless the Lord comes and we meet Him in the sky. He takes us up. Otherwise, this body is very temporal, and it's going to perish. And that is as sure as can be. You know, it's of a certainty. It's been proclaimed in the Word of God. And and so it shall be. And I know. See, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about that. If you go to, I believe it's... the 8th chapter and verse 8. Just look at this a minute here. It says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Oh, that day will come. Oh my, regardless of who we are, how much wealth we might have at the moment, how popular we might be, how well esteemed, oh my, all the good deeds that we might have done of our own righteousness, none of that is going to matter. Eventually, there's going to be a day when while everything comes home, and there's no man that has power over it. When it's, you know, God calls, when it's that time, when that spirit is, there's no way to retain that spirit. It's going to leave. It's going to leave the body. That spirit of life that is within us is going to leave. And so there's neither he had power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. There's, you know, no other way around it. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. There's no way to be delivered from it. So, oh my, and I know the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes talks about it too. It says, there is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to them that sacrifices, and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath there. Verse 2, and that it says, there is evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of man. Men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. That it is, you know, that it is. And then later in this chapter, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Like I spoke of that man who died quickly right there at the back door, just a sudden heart attack, I suppose. And all at once it was over, and all he could say is, you know, oh, that cursing that came out of his mouth. That's all he had to say. It was empty inside. There was nothing. He had, oh, wow, obviously, oh, nothing that he could give to God at that moment. It was over. God had found him wanting. It was that time when he was called, and my goodness, it was over for him. It was over. But people so often neglect the things that really matter most, and that fact that there's this time, this event that's going to happen to each and every one of us, and we don't know that day, that hour, that moment by any means. But the Lord does, doesn't he? And if we'll yield our heart to the Lord, if we'll get right, we can prepare, and we can have something to give back to him. We can be clothed with his righteousness, with his blood, and all be forgiven our sins, our trespasses, our evil works, all the things that we despise when we come to the Lord, when he turns our life around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But going back here to Luke, the 12th chapter, it's so important, obviously, to be right with God. But there's more. If we continue here in this chapter, if we look at verse 22, it says, "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." See, he's trying to say it again. There's something that's deeper than these temporal things that we can see here. You know, we worry so much about, you know, what we're going to eat, you know, and maybe take good, great care and preparation for all of that. And, you know, what we're going to wear. And yeah, sometimes, you know, that too takes a lot of consideration. But Jesus said, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls, the birds of the air, and in here these black birds called ravens? Wow, you know, God knows how to take care of them, but they don't have, you know, they don't have a storehouse. They don't have a barn to keep their food in. You know, they go gather it as it's required. And, you know, they don't go planting it in the earth either and, you know, worrying about it being reaped. The Lord knows how to provide. And so much more for his children. He says, how much better are ye than the fowls? I mean, you know, oh my, praise the Lord. You know, if he does that for the birds, then how much more for his children? And here he's trying to tell us to have that faith in him, to believe that he is God and that he knows how to help us. He knows how to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. He knows how to make things happen and to make things available and you know, to provide in a way that we could never dream of. And then it says in verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? You know, we might think we're too short and, you know, just want to grow. I want to grow another inch or two or three or four, you know, and all. But that isn't going to make us taller. We can't just wish, you know, we can maybe wear a little higher heel or something, but or put on stilts, but that really doesn't do anything on a permanent basis by any means. You know, we're going to, you know, be a certain height, so it is. So taking thought is going to add to that. It says in verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? And then he said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, here it is, those beautiful lilies that the Lord helps to grow, that the Lord plants. And, you know, I'm thinking of day lilies at the moment because they just last a day. But yet, you know, one comes and is beautiful and then another comes and another comes. Well, it's summer and the season is right, and you know, they're not worrying about, you know, what's going to happen or, you know, how their leaves are going to fall off and, you know, they're going to not be anymore. They're you know, they're not worried about that, and you know, they rise in their glory and you know, we marvel at it. They're, you know, every little beautiful thing that the Lord made is something to marvel at, I feel like. But there they are, they're beautiful without any great effort. It's the Lord who planted them, you know, the Lord that made them grow, who created them from the very beginning, and they're beautiful. And you know, even Solomon in all his pomp and circumstances, his great glory was not arrayed like one of those beautiful lilies that the Lord makes to grow. And then it says in verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Oh, praise the Lord. And he's assuring us here that he's going to take care of us, you know. If he makes the grass to grow, and the grass is temporal, you know, I marvel it's still green here. I probably won't be too much longer. It's getting really cold out again. But anyway, at the moment, we have no snow. And we see green grass, and you know, but it's just, you know, it's going to dry up. It's going to yellow. It's, you know, it's going to wilt. And, it, you know, it's only here for a little while. And, you know, then it's going to, you know, people, if you know, if it's a grass that they're growing for cultivating purposes, you know, they'll just, you know, allow it to be cast into the oven eventually, or whatever, all feed it to the cattle, or whatever, all whatever the purpose is for it. But it's temporal. It's short lived. You know, it's not going to endure for any long length of time. But the Lord does it. You know, grass, it might die. It's going to die during the winter. But praise the Lord, God gives us another spring. Well, all at once, there it is again, you know, beautiful green grass that comes up again. And you know, the Lord knows how to do that. And so, is telling us here that he knows how to clothe us too. He knows how to take care of us. He knows our needs even before we ask him. And oh, if we could just believe him, because he's promised that. You know, those are reassurances. Those are his promises. And so he says, oh, ye have little faith. And oh, yeah, so often our faith gets tried, it gets tested, and we get to that place where, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. Oh, worry, 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 you know. But praise the Lord. The Lord knows all. He's got it all in mind. You know, he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows how to take care of us. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Oh, again, just all that worry and trying to figure it out. That's another thing that us humans do too often, just try to figure it out. But, oh boy, there's something beyond that. It says here, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Yes, he knows our needs before we could even ask him. But that fretting, that worry, that trying to figure things out, ponder it, put it all in place, and, you know, gather for the years beyond for whatever wealth that we seek to gain. That's what the nations do. That's what the world does. That's what the carnal mind does. But God would not have us to be like that. He would have us to put our trust, our hope in him instead. And it tells us in verse 31 a very great key to all of this. It says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as it tells in Matthew 6, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's a key right there. The key is to seek God first, to put him above and before and beyond anything else. And then it tells us, all these things shall be added unto you. These things that you need, these things that you desire, these things that you have hope for, they will be added to you. One of his promises is that, you know, the things that you have need of will be provided for, that they'll be taken care of, that he will supply. And then it says in verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. He has great desires for his children. Oh, he has great things that we can't comprehend. In this little mind that we have here. And we're not to fear. We're not to worry. We're not to fret. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, he has great things prepared for them that love him. Things that we cannot even begin to put together in our minds. Things that we could never even guess or just begin to describe. It's not in this world, though. Our heart has to be set on things that are above, not on things that are beneath, not things on this world, but our treasures are up there. That's right, our treasures are up there. Those are the things that we're seeking. We know that this life is temporal, and you know, we have these little things now, and praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the good things that he gives us and the blessings and all of that, but it's just here for a moment. You know, our life is but a vapor. It's gonna be over one of these days, and you know, nothing else will matter. It won't matter if we had 5 houses and 40 cars. You know, I mean, honestly, who'd want that anyway? But you know, the things that people seek for and look for and ask for and, you know, oh, work and work and work for, you know, just so temporal. And just so worthless and of no great value at all. But praise the Lord, there's a key here. As I said, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then it says, our affections are not to be on things of this earth. They're to be on things that are above, as it says in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And then it tells us, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yes, the things on this earth are so fleeting. And you know, you can have the most beautiful coat in the world, and yet, you know, the moths could destroy it. We know how that can be. Or, a beautiful car, and if it's, in time, it's going to rust. And that's the way it is. You know, everything here is temporal, but praise the Lord, there are treasures that we can lay up in heaven. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not. And praise the Lord, we're going to a place where there's going to be no thieves. You know, there's going to be no moths or no rust that doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. And praise the Lord, where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. That's why our hearts have to be in heaven. We can't be looking for these temporal things and gaining and lusting after them and, you know, worrying. It's all the Lord's anyway. But anyway, where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. That's why our hearts have to be in heaven and on things that are above and not on things that are beneath here on this short living earth. And then so, as it tells us where the eternal values are in this chapter, then it goes on to tell us the need to be watching and to be waiting. Verse 35, it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Of course, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it talks about how our loins are girded about with truth. So that's what we're embracing. We've got the truth of God's word in our hearts. Our loins are girded about with it, figuratively speaking. It's a part of our life. It's the way we think, you know. It's what we're, you know, focusing on. And then it says, and your light's burning. And it's talking about the light of the Holy Ghost, that oil of the Holy Ghost that feeds our soul and nourishes us and, gives us life. And it's so important. We've got to embrace truth. We've got to have our loins girded about with truth. We've got to buy the truth and sell it not. I mean, it's a great, great treasure, and it's found in God's word. It's not going to be found any other place, but it's in this book. And it says, your light's burning. Oh, yes, we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have plenty of oil in our lamps. We don't want to be like those 5 foolish virgins that didn't bring along extra oil, and that oil ran out. And suddenly there they were. The bridegroom was calling. Oh, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That call came forth. Maybe they had waited a long time. Maybe it took a lot longer than they ever anticipated. But it did come forth, and that call came forth there. And all at once, yes, they awakened. They looked at their lamps, and there was no light. They had no oil in that lamp. And suddenly they realized, how am I going to get there? I can't see. I don't know my way. I'm lost. What am I going to do now? That light was gone. It was gone, and it was too late to buy more oil. Oh, it was too late. Oh, so we have to be ready. We don't know that time, that hour when our Lord's going to come. But God has told us here that we need to be like, if we look at verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Oh, that oil is in our lamp. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, we're recharged. We go to God every day and seek his face and his favor and ask him for more oil, that we'd have plenty. Comes today, Lord, I want to be full. I've got to be full. I've got to have that truth. I've got to have my loins girded about with that truth. I've got to have some of that word, that manna from heaven. I've got to be fed, Lord. I've got to have that spiritual food. Because we're like unto men that are waiting for our Lord to come, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open immediately unto him. You know, and it's not that we necessarily, we don't know. We don't know the time nor the hour when our Lord's going to come. But yet we want to be able to open up immediately. You know, no hesitation. You know, it's not going to be a worry about dust under the beds or you know, a mess in the house or, you know, that sort of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, one that might delay opening the door because, oh dear, somebody's at the door and I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I don't have anything. Oh my goodness, crumbs all over the floor and, it's total disaster. No, I'm not talking about that. There's another disaster that is far more devastating than that. Because here we're talking about a spiritual readiness. And wow, when our Lord comes, we're not going to be able to go fix things quickly. We're not going to be able to just sweep things under the bed or under the carpet or hide it in the closet or that sort of thing. You know, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready at that moment when He comes. You know, you can't go about, he's coming. I got to get rid of these ashtrays. Oh my, those cigars, I got to, put them all in the garbage. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord, look at the refrigerator. Oh, that beer in the back. Oh, I got to dump that out. Oh my, those filthy magazines. Oh, why did I get rid of them? You know, those movies in the corner in the cabinet. Oh, what's he going to think, you know? Oh, you know, I just, all those idols sitting over there and are the things in my heart or the other paraphernalia that I really wanted to get rid of, and, you know, those occult things. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, I just, go find my Bible, you know, dust it off, put it on the table. Like, you know, I've been reading it all along. Hey, listen. Not going to have such moments when our Lord comes. You know, there's not going to be any quick fix-ups. You know, we've got to be ready when He comes. We've got to have our hearts ready. We've got to be clothed with His righteousness, those sins forgiven, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that lamp, that light burning, burning brightly, not gone out, not hid under a bushel. Not without oil. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of that oil, occupying until He comes, doing His work, and ready for Him, ready, so that when He comes, there's no shame. He finds us doing His will. We want to be like that servant when the Lord comes back, when He returns from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately, just immediately. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad to see You. And it says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And oh, praise the Lord, what a joyful moment for those that are ready at that moment. Oh, who have their lamps trimmed and burning, or their loins girded about with truth, and are watching, are ready. There's no shame, there's no embarrassment. It's been covered, it's been taken care of, it's been atoned for, and I'm living for the Lord now. I'm doing His will. I've prepared my heart. Oh, nothing else will matter at such a moment, but am I right? Am I ready for my Lord when He comes? And it says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And praise the Lord. I don't know what watch we're in. You know, it's been a while since our Lord Jesus was here on earth. You know, a good 2,000 years. And, I don't know what watch we're in. But, you know, praise the Lord. He's still calling. He's still calling. That call is still going forth. He's still standing at the door and knocking. He's still giving opportunity for His bride to make herself ready. You know, praise the Lord. There's still that precious, precious opportunity. And how we want to be able to rejoice and to be glad at His appearance, at His coming. We go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Looking at verse 6 here. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's why we're here right now. What are we doing? We are making ourselves ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, it's going to be a day of rejoicing and gladness for those that prepare, that are ready, that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. A terrible day for those that are not. And praise the Lord, it says in verse 8 here in Revelation, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, praise the Lord. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. But that's what we're doing down here. We're getting ourselves ready. You know, you have to examine yourself. It's wise to examine ourselves to see if we're right in the sight of God. There might have been something that crept into our life. There might be something that we didn't realize before. There might be some dust in the heart that needs to be taken care of. You know, some crumbs that have gathered together and, you know, some other littering and all this and that and some other things. And we have to, be waiting and willing to look at our lives and look at our hearts and have the Lord examine us. Search me, O God, and see my heart, O Lord. Search me and see if there be any ungodly thing within me, O Lord. See if there be anything, O Lord, that displeases thee, O, that would keep me out of heaven, anything that would hinder me. O Lord, look at me. Search me, O God, and know my heart and try me. And know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked thing in me. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that we can come to God right now. I'm so thankful that we still have moments to, oh God, make our hearts right, to do his will, to live for him. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Because you know that moment is coming. If you could look at Revelation, the 22nd chapter, where it says, verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. There he comes. He comes with his reward. But the clock stops. Time stops. And it's just as you are. That's how it's going to be. You know, if you've been unrighteous, then that's it. The curtain is drawn. There's no more opportunity. If you're unjust, so be it. You're unjust. And that's how it's going to be. It's how you're going to be judged. If filthy, you're filthy. But praise the Lord if he finds us righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be righteous still. We're holy. We're going to be holy still. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's going to come quickly. It's going to be unannounced. He's going to come as a thief in the night. It's going to be without announcement. It's not going to be declared greatly. It's going to be quickly as a thief in the night. But we've got to be as those servants that were watching for their Lord to come. As it states here in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. Oh, praise the Lord, what a moment that's going to be. What a moment. It's going to be worth all these little trials here on earth. You know, I doubt that we'll even give them a thought. You know, it's going to seem like nothing. Those trials and tribulations that we endured here that at times are so vexing and hard. But suddenly when we see our God, we stand in his presence, and oh, he finds us righteous. All those other things, we're going to realize how fleeting this earth is, this time on earth is, our life. It's just so momentarily. It's truly that little vapor that appears for but a moment, and then it's going to be gone. Just a moment, just a moment, just a moment. But it's going to be gone. And praise the Lord, if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Yes, it's been over time, you know. Jesus has been gone a while. But still, he's got a people. He's still calling, and the watches are still going out. It tells us in verse 39, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." Oh, that need to be watching, to be diligent. Oh, to keep our hearts in tune with the Lord, to keep our hearts right. Because we don't know that hour of his coming, that hour of his appearing. But yeah, in the natural sense, if we knew there was a thief coming, we'd make all kinds of preparations to, you know, try to have the advantage at such a moment. But there's something even greater than that. That will happen. He will come and not tarry. He is coming as a thief in the night. And it tells us in verse 40, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Oh, when most people aren't expecting him to come, he's going to come and not tarry. Oh my, yes. Those moments are upon us. That hour is quickly coming on this world. We're seeing all kinds of things right now developing on the scene. I know if you read the January newsletter, you're going to realize, wow, this Pope that is, you know, on the scene right now, Lord only knows, he is definitely trying to unite the religions of this world. And the esteem that people have for him is unbelievable, actually. And you know, I just, this one statement here in Sam's newsletter here, it's just, it's so amazing. We know that Rick Warren is gushing all over Pope Francis. Rick Warren is doing this and that too. He's playing with the Islamic people and Islamic people and you know he's saying that you know with Catholicism that we don't have anything that really is that you know important to divide us. He says we have more, far more in common than what divides us as far as Catholics and Protestants are concerned. He says we all believe in the Trinity, we all believe the Bible, we believe in the resurrection, we believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. Well, not so true, really. We all don't believe in the Trinity. But you know, and in the way the Catholics believe in salvation, it's they believe in works more than the wonderful grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believe it's going to take works. But all this is on the scene. And these people are embracing them. Rick Warren recently called. He addressed the Pope as the Holy Father. And you know, he's doing everything he can to bring this together. What's going on? This is end time. This is prophecy. Is this not... how could this be the... You know, that prophet that was... That beast... system that's coming forth, you know, is this not that? Oh, I don't know. I see it. I see it. It's quite likely. I don't know. There's things going on behind the scenes. There's a gathering together of the tares that I know. There's a gathering together. They're trying to unite not only the religions that are so-called Christian, but they're gathering all of them. There was just recently a conference at the Vatican in November. And they were going to consider, you know, the marriage and family and topics like homosexuality and cohabitation and divorce. Yeah, all of those things. And you know who they invited? They invited Jewish people, Islamic people, Buddhist people, Hindu people, the Shasana people, Taoists, and the Sikhs, and just on and on. All those people, plus, of course, Roman Catholics and professing Christians, you know, people of all backgrounds and all different faiths were invited to this. And of course, Rick Warren teamed up with the Pope to make this happen. But anyway, here's a statement. Rick Warren again gushed over Pope Francis as he has become known to do. He said, "Pope Francis is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. His kissing of this deformed man, His loving the children, this authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor, this is what the whole world expects Christians to do. And when they go, oh, that's what a Christian does. In fact, there was a headline in Orange County, and I love the headline. I saved it. This is what Rick Warren is saying. It said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus. I'll tell you what, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. And boy, there's all the spirit of delusion is very heavy in this world right now. And this spirit of deception is going to deceive. It says in the scripture, if it were possible even to deceive the very elect. But praise the Lord, God has a people. God has a people, and praise the Lord, we can have our lamps trimmed and burning. We can come to God right now. Oh, our life is short. And here we go into another year, quite possibly. But, you know, all is going to matter. All that will matter when we stand before the Lord is what we have to give to Him. What have we done that will last? What have we done for eternity? Because we can easily ask that question. Whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh my, it's going to be over. It's going to be over soon. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as it says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what we want to be doing right now. We have a little time. That door of opportunity is still open. It's a door that the Lord opens. And only He can shut it. Only He knows the day and the hour. But it's going to end. Going to end. Oh, so many people are going to stand before God with great regret, great remorse, great sorrow. I know Queen Elizabeth, when she was dying, it is said that her last words were, all my possessions for a moment of time. All my possessions for a moment of time. And so it is with so many people. They get to the very end and realize it's all over. And it's too late to make changes. Oh, praise the Lord. If He's given us moments right now to do the things that count, to do the things that matter, to give our lives to the Lord, to serve Him right now, to be faithful stewards and to do His will. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege, what a precious privilege it is. Oh, praise the Lord. This time we have here is short, but it's so precious. We've got to use it to do things that count because our life is just a vapor. We're just here for but a moment, and then it's going to be over. And we know, as it says in Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Oh, praise the Lord. God has a plan in a way that we can serve Him all by putting Him first, by seeking the kingdom of God in all His righteousness, knowing that He will provide for the things that we need and that, oh my, He'll have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and we can make a difference. Oh, praise the Lord. We can serve the Lord. We can turn our life over, and someday when we stand before Him, oh, praise the Lord, we can hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad that we have opportunity, oh, and that we can occupy until He comes. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Samuel will come. Praise the Lord. We just thank You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness and Your grace and that You've called us to such a great salvation. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would talk to hearts, that You talk to individuals, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that there would be a difference in lives as they come to You and seek Thee, oh, Lord. Oh, God, and lay down their life in surrendering to Thy will and Thy plan, Thy purpose, in true repentance, in true sorrow, Lord, and oh God, in getting right before it's too late. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would talk to our hearts. Oh God, help us to fulfill your plan and purpose for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What is our life? Oh, wow, it is but a vapor. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 47 in the chorus book, Lord, Make Me What I Ought to Be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. To be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Lord.